The Weekly Connect. The Weekly Connect. On RNIB Connect Radio.
In case you haven't already heard about Improving Lives, Work, Health and Disability Green Paper, catchy title, by Damien Green and Jeremy Hunt, well, basically it's an ongoing consultation where the government are seeking responses now. And basically what it's all about is trying to understand why disabled people, and blind and partially sighted people in particular, are not in work. I mean, 1 in 4 is the number. 25% of blind and partially sighted people are in work. 75% aren't. That is incredible. I mean, that is very low figures. So what's going on when we apply for jobs? Why aren't we getting them? What is it that puts prospective employers off? Surely they don't all have a dog hair allergy. I mean, is it that, or is it that we're just not even getting told about the jobs that are there? I mean, what happens when you go down to the job centre? Is there support on offer? And is it the right kind? Well, we're going to talk now to Angus and Malcolm about their experiences. Firstly, thanks for joining us, guys. Angus, I'll start with you. You're out of work at the moment. What's causing you the difficulty in not finding a job?
I think there are a number of factors, but in brief, the first thing would be that there have to be the jobs out there in the first place. And there are certainly jobs out there, but it's whether there are jobs that a blind or partially sighted person could do. So obviously I'm not going to be working as a van driver or a shop assistant. The other problem is, I think, to a large extent, is around attitudes of employers. And this is where the big sea change needs to happen across the board for all people with disabilities, and especially those people with little or no vision, that employers need to basically give people a chance or try it. The other aspect I think that may put employers off is they will perceive, if they did find that a blind or partially sighted person was the most suitable candidate would be, but this is going to cost us a lot to make all the adaptations necessary. And I think many employers aren't aware of the Access to Work scheme that is run by the Department for Work and Pensions to help offset the extra costs of providing specialist screen reading software, braille displays, etc. But not only do employers not know, but I think unless you're a particularly assertive blind or partially sighted person, maybe you might not know if it was if you were going into the workplace for the first time. So if you can't explain to an employer and they don't know, then how is anyone going to get any further forward? Those are the barriers I see in brief.
Okay. Malcolm, okay. Your position, you live in London. You previously worked in the financial sector, but you left that job following losing your sight. Tell us a bit about that, and you're now working, or you're now looking for work as well, aren't you?
Yeah, that's not quite how it happened, but I was working in the insurance industry in the brokers, a very large broking house, and I decided that I'd had enough of that, and I went over to France with my brother for a while, and when I came back, things had changed, and so I decided I had to sign on initially, and I came up with a business that I wanted to get into to launch, and just decided I'd get some new glasses, and that's when they picked up on my condition. The first thing that happened was I could no longer drive, which killed the business. Mm. So I then decided, right, because of what I was told at the time, I wasn't capable of work, so I was put on employment support allowance. I got myself convinced that I couldn't work. So it took me a while to get my head around the fact that I can work. But now I'm sort of faced with the same challenges that Angus was mentioning, actually. And I think a lot of it is down to people, whether it's employers or prospective employees, just not knowing what that person can do. People tend to see on paper, when you disclose that you are partially sighted, they tend to see what you can't do, and they don't really take a chance to see what you may be able to do. So get in front of people is the key, so you can let people see physically what it is you are able to still do, as opposed to what they perceive will be a challenge for them. I think I can do a full-time job, But whether I can or not is a different matter, because it's been so long since I did and my eyesight has deteriorated so much that it's kind of trying to find my niche where I can offer something that everybody else can offer, but then a little bit more.
That's a really interesting comparison because, you know, Angus, in your case, you are fairly confident, I guess, that you can find a job. You just want to find a job. You know, you know your limitations. You know you're never going to be an astronaut or a, you know, an Uber driver. But, you know, you know where you are with that. Whereas, Malcolm, you're actually questioning yourself and whether or not you can work, because perhaps you think the world has told you that you can't work.
Part of it is that, yeah, I mean, but I think psychologically I went down the route that I convinced myself that I couldn't because that's what I was told. And when I then decided, you know what, actually I can, it's kind of trying to find what I can do. So I recently had a day's work last Saturday, in fact, at a big sporting event. And that was given to me not by going through the normal channels and applying for the job. A friend of a friend who works at this venue, you know, pulled a couple of strings to get me an opportunity. And unfortunately, I found in that environment, the level of sight that I have, I couldn't do the full day. Mm. So it sort of reinforced maybe it's a learning curve, you know. It's with my condition, it's deteriorating all the time. And so what I could do 2 years ago, I may not be able to do today. And again, in 2 years' time, I may not be able to do as much. It's what can I do and where can I do it?
So the government have launched this green paper, and basically it's asking disabled people, blind and partially sighted people in particular, what it is that we want the government to do to try and close this disability gap, to try and get that 75% figure down considerably. Let me ask both of you, and Angus, I'll start with you then. What do you think the government can do?
I think first and foremost, there needs to be a sea change in the attitude of employers, and the government should be more encouraging employers more strongly to employ people with disabilities and therefore people with a visual impairment. Also, the government themselves should lead by example, i.e., those government departments should be doing more themselves to employ more blind and partially sighted people. The other thing that I think needs to happen is a change in the way the benefits system works. At the minute, in employment and support allowance, it seems to be a complete paradox that in order to make things the best for yourself, you would be better off if you were in the support group and therefore, i.e. not compelled to look for work. The problem coming up is that for new claimants who end up in the work-related activities group, they will take a significant financial hit. So for those people currently in that group or in the support group but who are thinking that actually, you know, it might be that I could work, there's a huge disincentive effect to go out and look for work because you could, if things didn't work out, you could find yourself significantly financially worse off in the future. And it's almost as if people are too scared to take the plunge. I think if you ask most blind and partially sighted people, they would actively want to be employed, be that self-employed or be that more likely working for an employer. There's not many people who would want to be not working.
Quite a lot in that, Malcolm. Has that taken up everything you're thinking as well, or is there anything else you think you could add to that?
I think, what can I say on radio that I think? to me, I think the important thing is the people that come into contact with those with disabilities. For me personally, at the job centre I go to, I have the most fantastic person there. She is what used to be called a disability employment agent, and I think she's now, that role was made redundant, they've now brought it back. So she gets me. She understands that I'm not someone, you know, swinging the lead, just not wanting to work. She understands that I desperately want to work. Anybody that knows me knows that I'm not a skiver. So for me, going forward, the government needs to sort of get people's opinion that are valid as opposed to what they think. We're not numbers. When it comes to this kind of thing, we're not just a figure on a pie chart. We are people, on the whole, as Angus said, that want to work, the same as most people in society do. We just have, well, we have a disability, so we are disabled in ways that other people aren't. We just need to be seen. So what the government do, I don't know. They really need to take the inputs of the right bodies, whether it be the RNIB for the visually impaired and blind, or other organisations for various other disability groups, because the incentive isn't there for employers, because we are going to cost more money to make sure we have the right workstations. We are going to cost more money in terms of travel, possibly. We are limited, but there are roles within all offices that can be done quite comfortably by people with disabilities. And also what Angus said about the government and civil organisations like councils and stuff. Show us what you're doing. Prove it to me. I can work in Twickenham, in the Richmond Council, but you know, I think the key for me is talking, not just box ticking. Because I think when it comes, you can't just tick a box when it comes to people with disabilities. We're special, in a good way.
I think to pick up on what Malcolm said, what is also probably required. I find that fascinating what you say about the support you're receiving at your job centre, Malcolm, and the fact that it's been good. Many people's experience would be less favourable. The fact that they're bringing back the disability employment advisor role. That's interesting.
She was one, and now she's going to be one again. But also, sorry to interject, Angus, but I agree with you 100%. When I've had to see other people, when she's not been available, they just don't get it. And they're like, well, why haven't you applied for a picking job? Mate, I can hardly see, so how can I go around in a warehouse picking? Oh, well, you can apply for a bar job. I can't see. I'll be giving people coffee when they've asked for Quanto, you know. But with her, I've struck gold. I know that.
Yeah. I think also what's required here, so it's interesting that they're bringing the disability employment advisor role back. If that's the case, that's definitely a step in the right direction. The other thing I think to say is that those people who are trying to get back into work, it's about providing tailored support on a case-by-case basis. I think Malcolm alluded to this earlier. There's no one-size-fits-all solution. But often what a blind and partially sighted person might require is just simple help with, could you proofread this application for me and check that everything's gone in the correct boxes, please? Could you check this for formatting? It's simple things, but often they're overlooked.
You know, overall, there is a lot of work to be done, and I think we've learned a lot in this conversation around, especially, you know, getting that word out to blind and partially sighted people that they are capable, and to employers that we are also capable. It's been a very interesting conversation. I thank all of you for your time, and thank you for joining us here on the Weekly Connect.
Thank you.
Cheers, Steve.
Now, if you want to have your say, the RNIB have an online form that you can use. Check it out on the website, rnib.org.uk. But remember to do it before February 17th next year, as that is when the consultation period is over.
The Weekly Connect. The Weekly Connect. On RNIB Connect Radio.